The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, before we get into things, I would like to say that I am going to be going on vacation, so I will not have any shows for probably the next, like, week and a half. So today's going to be the last show until Monday, October 24th. I will be headed to Southern California to kick it in Beverly Hills for this weekend, and then all next week I will be in Disneyland. So that's where I'll be, so I won't be doing any shows. Probably won't be. I'll be paying attention to sports, of course, because, you know, baseball playoffs are going on, football's going on, but pretty much everything I do is just going to be, since I'm going to be in a legal state, I'll be getting super-duper high. I'll be eating a whole lot of food, and I'll just be having a really good fucking time. So, yeah, no shows. This will be the last show until October 24th. All right, and then also, I just dropped a director's cut version for my music video called The Shots. You can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or on my official website, katietrop.net. Either way, you should check it out, especially if you are a Britney Spears fan, because I am paying homage to Britney Spears. Of course, the whole video was, but this most specifically is a choreography I did all by myself. And it's basically like a shout out to Britney Spears' Stronger video. So if you're a fan of hers, you might want to check it out so you can see what's going on. And if you're not a fan of hers, well, fuck you. Anyways, let's get right into the sports. Let's talk about the Monday Night Football matchup. Very odd matchup. It was typical Kansas City Chiefs versus Las Vegas Raiders, though. It started out where it looked like, man, the Raiders look like they're going to kick the shit out of the Chiefs. I mean, their defense, they had Mahomes running for his life. He was throwing some passes that he just doesn't normally throw. They were just locking it down. And offensively, the Raiders really started to put it together. Davante Adams is catching all these passes. He's getting all these obvious pass interference calls. And all of a sudden, it's like the Raiders are up 17 to nothing. Well, then the Chiefs do what they do and the Raiders do what they do. And that's the Raiders decided they were going to not play the majority of the second half. And the Chiefs were like, no, you're the Raiders and we know how to score a lot of points. So basically they mounted a huge comeback. One of the I was kind of talking about it in the last show about analytics and how obviously it's a necessary aspect of the game. But it just makes some coaches overthink certain situations, especially these days. And so towards the end of the game, the Raiders did end up coming back because they were down for a while, but they ended up coming back. And they scored a touchdown, and they were down 30-29. And it was either go for the extra point and tie things up or go for the two-point conversion. The Raiders decided to go for the two-point conversion, which I really didn't like. Just because I'm like, this is Patrick Mahomes. This is your division rival. Just take the points, tie, and your defense has been playing well. Their defense was playing well all night for the most part, even though they did score 30 points on them. The defense was able to get Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket. He was running around a lot. So your defense was actually playing well. So you should have trusted in your defense. Josh McDaniels did not do that. They ended up going for the two-point conversion, which ultimately ended up failing. And the Chiefs would end up winning the game, of course. Now, of course, there was another horrible roughing the passer call where the defender basically had Derek Carr in a sack. The ball started to fumble. And as the defensive end is falling down, he's falling onto Derek Carr because he's a big-ass man and can't get out of his way now. But and he did everything by the book. But unfortunately, they called the roughing the passer call. It is ultimately what helped the Raiders catch up. They of course didn't win, but this was the second game in a row because, you know, we had the one on Tom Brady on Sunday. And they were both ridiculous calls, but it's just kind of amusing to me because the majority of you were making a big deal out of the whole Tua Tagovailoa injury. And you're the reason why these calls are made. I mean, they were going to make them anyways because they've always been bitches about roughing the passer. But especially after the outcry that you losers made over Tua Tagovailoa, you damn right that the league straight up told the refs, make sure you're paying attention to the roughing the passer, the calls. And that's what happens. I mean, I know these stupid calls are going to get made either way, but I mean, it's just really ironic to me to see 2 weeks ago, you're sitting around crying about Tua, and then here you are a couple weeks later crying about, oh my God, I can't believe they're calling these ridiculous calls. Now, lucky for me, I'm happy that you guys are all making a big stink about it because I started to think to myself, am I going to be watching football in the future? Because to me, it kind of feels like it's going to be heading the way of flag football with the way, you know, flag football is growing in popularity right now. That's what they are turning the Pro Bowl into, literally a flag football game. So like that kind of like makes me sit back and think, well, with all these stupid rules and with all you whiny ass bitches crying over injuries that are a part of the game, I assumed you were all going to ruin the game, but it sounds like we're not in flag football territory as of yet. But you never know with you losers always crying over dumbass bullshit. But anyways, it was a stupid call, and we'll see how many more of those stupid calls are made. I'm sure plenty will be made. I mean, there's always stupid calls regardless, but it was just funny to see two nights in a row two horrible roughing the passer calls. Also, in that game, in referencing that roughing the passer call, we actually had, I haven't had to do this in about a month or so, but we actually had retarded hysteria of the day in this game on that call. Because you know, it was on Monday Night Football on ESPN, and Troy Aikman, my favorite football player of all time, I even have a Troy Aikman tattoo, so we already know my Aikman bias is showing in this already, but he's one of the play-by-play analysts along with Joe Buck. And when this happened and they called the roughing the passer call and they were playing it back, Aikman just offhandedly said, well, they need to take the dresses off and figure this out. And I, in the moment, started laughing because I was like, hell yeah, Troy, you tell him. And then thought nothing of it. As a matter of fact, in my head, I actually assumed that Joe Buck was in the booth beginning to take his dress off because we all know he's a little bit wearing dresses, I imagine. But anyways, so the next day, next morning, like I said, I thought nothing of this. And I sign online and I go to my Yahoo email. And of course, the stupid news screen is what you first have to see. And usually I don't really look at that shit because I don't really tend to watch or pay attention to the news anymore because it's melodramatic and stupid. Just like this story that I'm about to tell that belongs in the retarded hysteria of the day pile. So I see a headline that says Aikman in hot water over phrase he used in game last night. I was like, what? So I click on it and I just start laughing. First and foremost, I was like, who is this written by? Because this person who wrote this article, they were outraged that Aikman used the term take the dresses off. And I was like, why? And so the more I read it, and it's because it's sexist, you know, because I'm a woman, I'm supposed to immediately be offended, even though I make these comments all the time. As a matter of fact, if you've been listening to the show, or if you know me, I do that all the time. I say, you're playing like a girl, you throw like a girl. I mean, that's commonplace for me, because I'm sorry, it's true. I hate to break it to everybody, but that's how men in sports speak to each other on the field, the court, and in battle, number one. Number two, it is a fact. I'm sorry, I know this hurts people's feelings, but it is a fact that men and women's bodies are built differently. And men are actually better and more athletic than women at sports. And so him saying the take the dresses off comment is actually, it was actually quite fitting in my opinion. But anyways, I more wanted to see who wrote this stupid article. Come to find out later too, apparently a few other people were upset by this, but of course, but I wanted to see who wrote it. And of course, it's written by this man. Well, I use the term man very loosely after I read this little whiny article by a Ryan Young, who it was on Yahoo, so I'm not sure if he works directly for Yahoo or whatever, but Miss Ryan Young, I'm sure, is currently in the kitchen right now in his dress, getting ready to take children to the soccer practice right now. As a matter of fact, I imagine Ryan Young is that fucking douchebag who has who's like standing in his driveway with his hands like on his hips, like upside down. And he probably like stares at every car that drives by and like, slow down, guys, slow down. I'm going to go cook in my dress. I'm getting mad at Troy Aikman for saying take the dresses off. Like, really? That's your issue, is that he said, take the dresses off. He really didn't say anything horribly bad. That it was hilarious. Like I said, I laughed in real time, but I'd really honestly like to challenge this Miss Ryan Young to a fight, because obviously it would be equal, because, you know, it would be a girl on girl fight. And, obviously, I would win because I'm not a pussy-ass bitch like this little Ryan Young motherfucker. But if you are upset at Troy Aikman for saying, take the dresses off, y'all motherfuckers need to get back in the kitchen and shut the fuck up and stop watching some football, because we don't need your whiny little asses there. Also, another thing that I fucking hate, which is extremely demeaning, is when a man walks in and tells us women what we need to be offended by, okay? Miss Ryan Young, suck my motherfucking dick. Keep your dress off on and get back in the kitchen, because ain't nobody touching you, you fucking Karen. Anyways, that was the retarded hysteria of the day, and I've got your back, Troy. Please do not apologize. He has yet to apologize, and I hope he does not apologize, because he has nothing to apologize for. And it was hilarious. It was a hilarious comment, and it was true, and it was needed, and it was necessary, because also, too, I'd like to point out, Troy Aikman actually played the game, and not only was he a very successful quarterback, he was a three-time Super Bowl champion. He succeeded at every level of his career. As a matter of fact, he succeeded in college and in high school as well. So he's had many concussions in his entire career, and he's dealt. He actually came up in a time when quarterbacks were actually allowed to be tackled. And so his opinion on this roughing the passer call actually does matter. And him saying take the dresses off fit perfectly. And so, yeah, Miss Ryan Young and the rest of your little Karen clan need to go fuck yourselves, basically, is my take on that. So now let's get back to the football and my top 10 NFL power rankings for the week. Starting with number one. Ugh. I feel like it's like my baseball power rankings all over again, because I have to continuously give props to the team I hate the most, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles. They are number one. They're still undefeated. They're 5-0. They're still playing really well, so it's not like I can put the Bills and the Chiefs above them just yet, because, hey, the Bills and the Chiefs have really bad losses, in my opinions, even though they, if you really, obviously, I feel like if the Bills and the Eagles played, or the Chiefs and the Eagles play, it would be a good game. But I would be picking the Bills or the Chiefs, obviously. But, you know, the Eagles have proven they are the number one team. And being undefeated matters. And they're winning in so many different ways also. They kicked the shit out of teams. They've had to make comebacks. They've played decent teams. They've played home and away. And so they keep winning. And so they've got to be at number one on my stupid power rankings. Hopefully the Cowboys are able to beat them this week, and maybe I'll be able to knock them down. Oh, I won't have my NFL power rankings though next week, because I'll be in Disneyland, hopefully celebrating a Cowboys win. But anyways, back to the stupid Eagles. Jalen Hurts, he's just having a phenomenal season. He's got 1,359 yards passing on the season, with 4 touchdowns passing and then 6 rushing touchdowns. And I mean, he's really killing it rushing. Like, He is like carrying the entire defensive line with him at some of these points. So he's having a great year. Miles Sanders, their running back's having a great year as well. He's got 414 yards and 3 touchdowns on the season so far. And their defense is really just dominating. So Eagles at the top of my top 10 this week. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 4-1. And they just blew up the Steelers, as they should. Josh Allen, he is having a phenomenal season with 1,651 passing yards and 14 touchdowns on the season. Only 4 interceptions, too, so he's very accurate. Stephon Diggs has 518 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. But you can't count out this defense. This Buffalo Bills defense is really freaking good. Jordan Poyer, their safety, leads the league with 4 interceptions, and their defense leads the league with overall interceptions as well, with 8 interceptions. I believe they're tied with a few other teams, but they are leading the league with interceptions. So they really know how to take the ball away from everybody. So they're scoring points like no other. They're taking the ball away. They're just an all-around excellent football team. And at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record at 4-1. And just Patrick Mahomes is just carrying this team. I mean, he is making some passes. Like, he's always made crazy passes, but now the entire team is on his back. And he's just killing it. He's got 1,398 yards on the season with 15 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. So he's accurate as hell also. And even though they did lose Tyreek Hill, he still has Travis Kelce, who has 7 touchdowns on the season. Now, granted, he did get 4 of those on Monday night, but still, he's a great weapon for them to have. And offensively, I have no questions about the Chiefs. It's really their defense. And I do wonder if at some point all this pressure on Mahomes is going to cost them at some point more down the line, more like in the playoffs, just because the load being on one player, especially on the offensive side of things, it does catch up to you at some point. And it could lead to an injury at some point as well. But until it does, the Chiefs are rolling. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 3-2. And their defense is stacked. Joey Bosa, 6 sacks on the season. Their defense has 5 interceptions, 21 sacks on the season, which leads the league. Defensively, they just are killing it. That 2 of those interceptions that they've had have been run back for touchdowns, and they are setting their offense up in great field position, and they're just able to get the nice, easy score, and the 49ers are just looking like a great team also. So they are at number 4. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I got the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 4-1. To me, I've always felt like that they're a very shaky team. I still don't really believe in them yet, but they're 4-1, number 1. But also, number 2, they're just offensively, they look really good. And number 3, their defense is actually not too bad. I thought that was going to be a huge weakness for them, but so far, it hasn't cost them any games yet. Jefferson, the wide receiver, he's just having a spectacular year. He's so far has got 547 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving. Really, I mean, this whole receiving core is the pick of the litter for Kirk Cousins. And then, you know, he's got Dalvin Cook at running back, and then the backup, I can't remember his name offhand right now, but their backup is even really good too. So offensively, I feel like the Vikings are going to be able to keep up with anybody. It's just if it's one of those off games, because it just always seems to happen to the Vikings where they just have that weird off game, and we'll see how they're able to keep it going. But so far, they're looking pretty good. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got my Dallas Cowboys, overall record of 4-1. And you're probably thinking, well, of course she's got them in her top 10. Well, but I mean, they're 4-1 and they're playing damn good. They just beat, on their record this year, they have beat the Super Bowl champs in the Los Angeles Rams just this past week, and they beat the Super Bowl loser, the Cincinnati Bengals. So they beat 2 of the best teams in the league from last year. So that says a lot. Defensively, they are one of the best in the league. Micah Parsons already has 6 sacks on the season. He and Bosa lead the league right now with those 6 sacks. And then also, the rest of the defense overall has 20 sacks on the season and 5 interceptions. So defensively, it's going to be really difficult to score on the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, they are the only defense so far in the league that has only allowed one touchdown for an entire nobody scored more than one touchdown on them. So that says a lot, especially with, like I said, the Los Angeles Rams. While they're having their offensive struggles, they're still the defending Super Bowl champs, and their offense shouldn't have looked that bad, and they did. And the Cowboys' offense is obviously not blowing anybody out of the water just yet, but it's balanced, and they're scoring enough, and they're doing enough to get the win. So until they start losing, I get to put them in my top 10. So how about that? Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 3-2. Leonard Fournette has really turned into their offensive driving force. I mean, Tom Brady's found him a lot in the passing game. And he finally really found his footing in this game this past week on the ground. You know, he's made strides on the ground, of course, because he is the running back. But it's mostly actually been through the passing game. I think it's more just because Brady hasn't had his usual amount of weapons at the wide receiver position, so Fournette just happens to be open. But also defensively, the Bucs defense is really freaking good. They've got 6 interceptions on the season and 19 sacks on the season, so they're really holding it down and doing enough and setting up the offense up in good field position so they could get some easy scores. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 3-2. And, you know, just Lamar Jackson really is just doing it all for this team. And you can tell it's going to cost them eventually. It's kind of why I wasn't leaning towards them as a legit Super Bowl contender. I think they're a playoff contender. But I don't think they have enough weapons for Lamar Jackson to actually succeed. He needs at least one really good receiver. I mean, his tight end, Mark Andrews, is his most reliable receiver, which he's really good tight end. But when your tight end is your best receiver, that's not a good thing. He does have 349 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. But I feel like Lamar Jackson really needs some help. And it seems like the Carolina Panthers right now are in selling mode. So I kind of feel like they need to look into maybe going after DJ Moore at wide receiver. I'm not saying he would immediately come in and be an impact, but I really feel like if the Ravens are ever going to be a legit Super Bowl contender and not waste Lamar Jackson's amazing talent, they need a wide receiver. And I feel like somebody like DJ Moore would be a good fit. And would ultimately help this offense, because I feel like as the season wears on, this is not going to last. Especially because their defense, while they have their moments, they have 8 interceptions on the season. So they're able to take the ball away, but they also allow the other team to score. So it's a very weird situation in Baltimore because, you know, Lamar Jackson is having a great season. But it kind of feels like it's going to go to waste just because he doesn't really have any wide receivers other than Duvernay, who's really like a number 2 guy. He's not a number 1. So I feel like they need more weapons for Lamar Jackson to actually be a Super Bowl contender. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Chargers, who have an overall record of 3-2. They are a weird team. They're still growing, in my opinion. You know, Herbert, he obviously is still, he's got potential to be a great, spectacular quarterback. But he still makes some really dumb mistakes. But also, the decisions from the coach are just really weird. He's that analytical type coach. And like I said, I get it. You need the analytics, but sometimes you just have to go with the feel of the game, the flow of the game. And sometimes he just makes some really boneheaded decisions when it comes to fourth downs. He really likes to chance it. When sometimes you just need to punt the ball or try and get the field goal. So I feel like the Chargers are still growing. I think they're definitely going to be a playoff contender team. But I feel like they're going to go through some really good wins, and then they're going to go through some really head-scratching losses. But they are at number 9 this week on my top 10. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, it was really difficult to put this stupid team here because I was struggling. I'm like, I am not putting them here because I don't really believe in them. Yes, they are 4-1, and it's the New York Giants. I didn't want to put them there because I just don't believe in the Giants. Offensively, they are not that good. Other than Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, he is having a phenomenal season so far. He's got 533 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on the season. So he has been great. It's been great to see him back just because, you know, he's been injured for the last couple of years. And it's nice to see these talented guys get back at it. But other than that, you know, Daniel Jones, he's been running around a lot. He doesn't have a go-to receiver. Most of their receiving core is either injured or is not playing. And their offensive line is not good at all. Defensively, they're just mediocre. So it's like, how the hell are the Giants 4-1? I do not know. But they've rounded out my top 10 this week. And then Thursday Night Football, we've got the Washington Commanders at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Bears are a 1.5-point favorite. I'm actually leaning towards Washington in this one. While they do have their issues right now, especially with a very out-of-character call-out from Ron Rivera this week. He was asked in his press conference earlier this week, what do you think all the other teams in your division, what do you think they're doing better than you? And she said quarterback. So he basically just like called out Carson Wentz in front of everybody for I don't even know why. Don't get me wrong, Carson Wentz hasn't been amazing, but he's been not bad, not bad. He has had his follies. Yes, he did have a few red zone interceptions last week, but he's also had some really good moments. I actually wouldn't pin the reason why they suck because of him. I just think it's an overall bad team. Also, they're missing a lot of their defense. You know, Chase Young hasn't played yet. And so I just thought that was a very weird move from Ron Rivera. He did actually apologize today just because, like I said, that was very out of character for him, especially to kind of call out his quarterback like that so early in the season. And I don't know, maybe Rivera is just kind of fed up with being the Washington coach, as I don't blame him because of all of the drama there. But, hey, man, you took on the job and you decided to go work for Daniel Snyder. So you get what you get in that one. But anyways, with all this turmoil, I kind of feel like they're going to bounce back this week. You know, they're not a good team, Washington. They're not a good team at all. But neither is Chicago. Chicago's offense is not good. Chicago's defense is okay. So I look at this game and it's the tale of two shitty teams, basically. And usually that turns out to be a pretty good matchup. So I do think it's going to be a close matchup. But I actually think Washington's going to come in and upset the Bears and get the win 21-14. Also, if you want to hear the rest of my picks for week 6, you'll have to check out my segment later tonight with Simon as we go through our head-to-head. We will make our picks because, you know, usually on Fridays I make my picks on the show, but I won't be doing that this week because I will be in Beverly Hills, motherfuckers. So if you're interested in hearing what the rest of my picks are for this week, you could go ahead and tune into Sports View with Simon. I always post those segments with him on my website usually every Friday. This week, I'll probably post them tomorrow before I head out of town. Usually I post my segments with him. But if you're ever interested, you could just look up Sports View with Simon on Spotify, Apple Music, or even just Google it and you could find us. And like I said, we do head-to-head every Wednesday, and then usually every Monday or Tuesday, I do a segment called Drop It Like It's Hot, where we usually just talk about a sports segment for about 30 minutes or so. So if you want to hear my picks for this week, just tune into the head-to-head segment. And then also for next week's picks, basically what I'm going to just end up doing is I'm going to go ahead and just send Simon my picks, and then he'll have to do the show solo. So you'll still get to know who my picks are if you care. And then let's move on to the college football AP top 10 this week. A little bit of shakeup, not a lot. Basically, the same teams just kind of jumbled around a little bit. Back at number one, the Georgia Bulldogs, still 6-0. They kicked the crap out of Auburn this week, 42-10. Then this week they've got Vanderbilt, so they're probably still going to be undefeated. I would actually put number two, though, at number one. Ohio State's number two. I feel like they should be number one just because, really, Ohio State has not played a bad game yet this season. While they haven't really played a tough opponent yet, they still have really kicked the shit out of everybody, and I just kind of feel like Ohio State's actually played better than both Georgia and Alabama, who have both been ranked number one. So I feel like Ohio State should be number one, but they're number two. 6-0, they just kicked the crap out of Michigan State, 49-20, and they are on a bye week this week. Then at number three, we've got Alabama. They're 6-0. They barely got by Texas A&M this week, 24-20. Granted, their starting quarterback did not play, so I feel like that had a huge part in why that was such a close game. And then this week, it's going to be another tough task for them. They're going to be playing Tennessee, who is ranked number six, and they're going to be at Tennessee. So they're definitely going to need their starting quarterback. And I feel like if they don't have their starting quarterback, that could be a potential for an upset alert, even though it definitely is potential upset alert because Tennessee is playing really freaking good right now. Then at number four, we've got the Clemson Tigers. They're 6-0. They just beat the crap out of Boston College, 31-30. And they play Florida State this week. Then at number five, you got Michigan, who are 6-0. They just beat Indiana 31-10. And they've got a big game this week against number 10 Penn State. So one of those two teams is going to lose. And I feel like Michigan's still going to win because I really actually, I for once believe in Michigan. I really don't usually believe in Michigan because over the years they just are that team where they just look like they're really good and then they lay an egg. I actually think both Michigan and Ohio State are really good teams this year. So I think Michigan will get this win over Penn State, but it should be a really good game. Then at number six, I already said that when I mentioned they're going to play Alabama, but Tennessee, number six, they are 5-0. They just stomped LSU 40-13. And like I said, they play number three Alabama this week, so it's going to be a very interesting matchup between those two teams. Then at number seven, we've got USC. They're 6-0. They just beat Washington State this weekend 30-14, and they've got Utah. They'll be going to ranked number 20 Utah this weekend. Then at number eight, we've got Oklahoma State. They're 5-0. They just beat Texas Tech this week, 41-31. And they will be at number 13 ranked TCU. So that's going to be another good one. And TCU, they've been playing pretty well. So I actually expect this Oklahoma State TCU game to be very fun to watch. Don't know who I'm leaning towards Oklahoma State. I just think they're the better team, but I would not be shocked to see TCU get that win. Then at number nine, Ole Miss, they are 6-0. They just beat Vanderbilt 52-28 this weekend, and they have Auburn. And then rounding out the AP top 10 is Penn State. They're 5-0. They just got by Northwestern this week, 17-7. And like I said, they will be headed to Michigan. Also of note, number 11, UCLA, and I am a Texas Longhorns fan through and through, but I do like UCLA because, as I mentioned, I am a huge Troy Aikman fan, and that's where Troy Aikman went to school, was UCLA. So I've always rooted for UCLA because of that. So it was really cool to see them. They are ranked number 11. They are 6-0, and they're actually kicking some motherfucking ass this year, which is really shocking because I didn't expect anything from UCLA. I mean, they've been a really bad football team for quite some time now. They've really been trying to find their way, but to see them ranked at number 11, I'm pretty freaking stoked about that. And the Longhorns, they're ranked, I think, like 22. They're ranked at the bottom 20, like 22, 23, somewhere in there. I don't usually care about rankings, especially past the top 10. It doesn't usually really matter just because the top 10 are what gets the bowl game, the good playoff games, and then the good bowl games. So if you're ranked anything below that, you get the nutsack bowl, you know, the useless nutsack bowl, whatever. So yeah, usually when I see my teams ranked below top 10, it's not that big of a deal. But hey, UCLA, I like to see that because I can't believe they're undefeated right now. All right, and then the NLDS and the ALDS, all four game ones kicked off yesterday, which was just so fucking great for me because I do work from home. I work from both from home and in the office. But yesterday was a work from home day, and on work from home days, it's always great when I have like a sport on all day. And yesterday I had baseball on from like, I think it started at 11 in the morning all the way until I went to sleep last night. So it was excellent to have baseball on my TV all freaking day. And we had some good ass games, starting with game one of the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Atlanta Braves. The Phillies actually kicked the crap out of the Braves. It ended up being a 7-6 final. But for the most part, man, the Phillies were in control from inning one. You know, Max Fried did not pitch a good game at all. He had a 1080 ERA. But Olsen, he did have a good game. He came in, he was 2-for-3 with a home run, 3 RBI for the Braves. Then Travis d'Arnaud, he also had a great game. He went 2-for-5 with a home run and 3 RBIs. But man, the Phillies really took it to them. Their bullpen was dominating until the ninth inning, of course. I mean, it was kind of funny to see because it looked like the Braves were mounting a comeback, but they just weren't able to get it done in the end. Nick Castellanos, he was really the driving force behind the offense for the Phillies, which was weird because he's been getting called out a lot this season. And I mean, when you play in Philadelphia, the fans, if you don't get on the fans' good side, they're going to let you know. And he's had a really down season, especially compared to last year when he was with the Reds. You know, he had like a really huge, like a breakout season last year. And so they paid a lot of money for him this year. And so he's kind of had a down year. But man, he showed up yesterday. He went 3-for-5 with 3 RBI. Bryce Harper also had 3 hits. And like I said, their bullpen actually was really the driving force. I think I think all their pitchers only pitched like 2 innings at most. And really just in the ninth inning is when Eflin came in, was really their only issue. But for the most part, the Phillies dominated that game. Game two is tonight. It was supposed to start a couple of hours ago, but it's raining in Atlanta. So we're supposed to get like a 7:30 start. So it's supposed to start. Actually, I think here it's supposed to be 6:30. So it should actually be starting here pretty soon. Actually, while I say that, hang on a second, guys. I need to change the channel. Make sure we're going to have some baseball. But anyways, that's going to be starting here soon. So we'll see how that goes. Then we had, after that, we had ALDS Game 1, Houston Astros versus the Seattle Mariners. What a game. The Astros ended up getting the win 8-7. But holy shit, it looked like it was going to be a Mariners ass kicking. I mean, so first I'm watching because this game kind of started at the tail end of the Braves-Phillies game. So I was kind of flipping back and forth. But when I first switched over, it was like the first inning and the Mariners were already up like 3-0. And I'm like, who's pitching? I'm like, wait a second, Verlander's pitching for the Astros and dude's already got 3 runs on him. Like, whoa, that's crazy. So I'm like, the Mariners, wow, they're actually bringing it. But in the back of my head, the Astros are a team you can never count out. They are just a team. They can get it going. And they were down the whole way. Seattle actually had the lead 7-3 going into the eighth inning. So then in the eighth inning, Houston actually started to get the offense going. And I was watching, and I'm like, they did score. They scored 2 runs in the eighth, and it went up going 7-5 into the ninth inning. And I'm like, I think the Astros can do this. I mean, while for the most part, I mean, the Mariners dominated this game. They at every position, in every way, shape, and form, they should have walked away with this win. And this is such a demoralizing loss for them, especially the way it ended. So we're going into the ninth inning, and it's 7-5. And we're going into the bottom of the ninth inning now. And there's 2 guys on base, and up comes Yordan Alvarez. And I'm like, man, I kind of have a feeling something big's going to happen here just because Alvarez has had an excellent season. It's really gotten overshadowed by Aaron Judge, as it should, because, you know, Aaron Judge had the 62 home runs, historic season. That's going to overshadow everything. But Yordan Alvarez has been one of the best hitters in the American League this year, and he has been a beast. And he's had some huge, huge game-winning hits. And so when he came up to bat, I see 2 guys on deck. Or, I mean, 2 guys on base. I'm like, this is not the position you want to be in, Mariners, especially with your history. So, we got baseball, by the way. It just came on. Kyle Wright is walking onto the mound. So we got baseball tonight right now, game two. But anyway, so Yordan Alvarez comes up to bat. And boom. It was when he hit the ball, you knew it was gone. He hit a three-run home run, walk-off, and it was nuts. It was so demoralizing for the Mariners. I don't think they have a shot in hell. Even if they get a win, they have no shot in hell because I feel like this game, they had it from start to finish until the bottom of the ninth inning, and Yordan Alvarez took their breath away. And he took the dresses off, that's for damn sure. And he ran home, and the Astros got a huge win. Game two is tomorrow night in Houston. Then game one of the New York Yankees versus the Cleveland Guardians. That was more of a dominating. That was, I would say, the last two games were pretty much utter domination by the home teams. The Yankees, for the most part, they had this. At first, it looked like, you know, because it was Cole was pitching okay. And then Stephen Kwan comes up to bat for the Guardians, and he's been really hot, especially the last couple of months. But Kwan is just, I don't think a lot of people just realize he's there. And not only is he, like, really good at getting on base, but he's great with steals. He's just a very stealth type of player. You're not really thinking about him, but he's there and he makes his presence known. And he was the first to score a home run last night. He walked right up and just smacked this one on Cole for a home run to go up 1-0. But then Harrison Bader would come in on the next inning and tie it back up at 1. And then Cole would actually have a really solid night after that. He got into a couple of other jams, and he was able to work his way out of it. So he just had a solid night all the way through. He went like 6 innings. And then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, you know, I was wondering why the Yankees traded for him in the offseason, because they gave up a lot to get him. And I was like, is this guy really worth it? Well, he really has had a really good season for them offensively and defensively. And he just showed up in the playoffs because he had some huge hits last night. And then Anthony Rizzo had a good night as well. He hit a huge bomb last night. So the Yankees, they had a very dominating performance and a 4-1 win. And game two of that series will be tomorrow night. And then rounding out the night was game one between the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. The Dodgers pretty much dominated this game from the jump. They did get the win 5-3. The Padres would make kind of a run in the second half of the game. But overall, I mean, the Dodgers just, they what they do. They get right on base. They're pitching, you know, Urias. He had a good game all the way up till about the sixth inning. And then he just started to give up a couple of runs, and then they just had to take him out. But really, the Dodgers did what the Dodgers should have done in this one. As a matter of fact, I didn't finish the game because I was tired, and plus I don't really like to see the Dodgers kick ass like that. And I think I went to bed in like the fourth, maybe fifth inning. And at that point, like, the Dodgers were up, I think, like, 4-0. And it just was such a bad ass-kicking. I was like, I'm sure I'll wake up in the morning and it's going to be, like, a 9-0 game. And I was shocked to see that it was 5-3 because, man, Mike Clevinger, he was the starting pitcher for the Padres last night, and he was getting lit up. So I was really shocked that it wasn't a bigger score. Trey Turner had a huge game. He went 2-for-4 with a home run. And really, I mean, the Dodgers just had an all-around solid game. All right, and now let's get into my NBA playoff predictions for the 2022-2023 season. As I already went through my Eastern Conference, Western Conference predictions on my last two shows, so you could check that out if you want to. But basically, this is how I feel like the 2023 playoffs are going to go. Over in the Western Conference, I have the 1 seed as the Golden State Warriors, number 2 seed Dallas Mavericks, number 3 Denver Nuggets, number 4 Los Angeles Lakers, number 5 Memphis Grizzlies, number 6 New Orleans Pelicans, number 7 LA Clippers, and number 8 the Minnesota Timberwolves. Over in the Eastern Conference, I've got the number 1 seed being the Philadelphia 76ers, number 2 Milwaukee Bucks, number 3 Miami Heat, number 4 Cleveland Cavaliers, number 5 the Brooklyn Nets, number 6 the Atlanta Hawks, number 7 the Boston Celtics, and number 8 the Chicago Bulls. You know, as you could tell, like I'm really riding high. I kind of feel like the Warriors are going to dominate the Western Conference this year. Not only because they have they're the defending champs. They have the veteran presence with Draymond Green keeping the youngins in line, and you've got Steph Curry just doing Steph Curry type things. But then you also have Jordan Poole, who I think is going to have, you know, he had a breakout season last year, but I kind of just see him taking a bigger role this year. And so I just feel like the Warriors are just going to be a really good team this year. And unless there's some type of injuries or something, I feel like the Warriors are going to be one of the top teams. As I mentioned with the Mavericks, I just see Luka Doncic just having that type of year. I feel like he could potentially be like an MVP candidate, maybe even win the MVP and just really be a driving force for the Mavericks this year. And then just another kind of surprise team, I feel like, is going to be the Pelicans. If Zion's able to stay healthy, same with Ingram, I feel like the two of them are going to be a really nice dynamic duo. I see them making some waves if healthy, of course. But if they stay healthy, I feel like they're going to be a pretty competitive team and sneak into the playoffs. And then over in the Eastern Conference, I actually think the 76ers are going to be one of the best teams in the league. I feel like Joel Embiid's probably pissed off from the last couple of years because he's been almost there and really injuries have fucked it up. You know, last year he was having an MVP season, and right when they hit the playoffs, he breaks his nose and he suffers that hand injury. I think it was like a finger injury, and he missed some games and he just was never the same. So I just kind of feel like, and also they've got a whole year now with James Harden where he's starting the season off with them. And I also expect Maxey to kind of just come out and have a good year. So I really see the 76ers being not only one of the most dominant teams in the Eastern Conference, but I feel like overall they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. Then I just look at the Bucks and just go same old Bucks, where I kind of look at them like the Warriors, where they've got that veteran presence. They've won a championship, and they've just got great players who know how to win. And then kind of like a dark horse team that I have in the Eastern Conference is the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Donovan Mitchell trade is huge because they were already a young, growing team last year, and you could see they were starting to make strides. And this year, I feel like they're going to be a legit team. Not legit as in I think they're going to win a championship, but I think they could potentially be like an Eastern Conference Finals team, or just a team who really is just at the top of the Eastern Conference for most of the year. So my first round matchups would end up being the Golden State Warriors versus the Timberwolves, Dallas Mavericks versus the Clippers, the Nuggets versus the Pelicans, and the Lakers versus the Grizzlies. And then on the East, I'd have the 76ers versus the Bulls, the Bucks versus the Celtics, the Heat versus the Hawks, and the Cavaliers versus the Nets. So then my conference semifinals would end up being the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Lakers, Dallas Mavericks versus the New Orleans Pelicans. And then in the East, I would have the Philadelphia 76ers against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Atlanta Hawks. So then my conference finals in the Western Conference Finals would end up being the Golden State Warriors versus the Dallas Mavericks. And then my Eastern Conference Finals, I have the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Milwaukee Bucks. My NBA Finals matchup, I've got the Golden State Warriors versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And my champ, I think, is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. I really think if they just stay healthy, I can see Embiid having yet another amazing season like he had last year. I feel like James Harden is actually wanting to play basketball this year, not be all about himself. He just seems all in. They've got Doc Rivers as their coach. So I just really feel like they're poised to make a run at a championship this year. So that's who I've got winning it all this year. Basketball, of course, starts off next week, next Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday, the 18th. So while I'm in Disneyland, I will actually be in the land of the Lakers. I will be wearing my Lakers shit and for once not getting shit about it, because I will be with all my Lakers brethren. They'll probably see the Kobe tattoo on my leg and be like, "What? Hell yeah." Whereas people here would be like, "Fuck you and your Lakers." But we got basketball right around the corner. Hell, hockey just started. We've got the baseball playoffs going on. And so, yeah, like I said, I am not going to have a show this Friday. No shows next week. I will be back Monday, October 24th. And shit should be real shaken up by then, because by then we'll already be the NLCS and ALCS will have already started. So I'll be breaking those down once I get back. And we'll see where we're at football-wise. And so, yeah, you all enjoy the sports. I will as well. And I will also enjoy my vacation. And I will have a great motherfucking time in Disneyland. And I will talk to you motherfuckers when I get back. And make sure you all take the dresses off.